The following is a recording of the Sunday evening 6 p.m. service of Rangeville Community Church.
How good to be in Toowoomba. Thank you for having us, and what an honor to be here. And it's so good to see Ian and Betty. Did I get your names right? All right. I know Ian, but I've only met Betty recently. But he was at Jubilee just a few months ago, and Izzy's been up to Toowoomba a few times, but I haven't been before. And it's just, I feel like I'm with the fathers of the faith here in Toowoomba. And I see a few grey hairs here, and I'm joining you. I'm almost there. I'm growing up. And why I say that is because I want to thank you for standing in the land and for praying and for singing and worshiping and sowing and loving and for showing up tonight as you have, many of you, for decades. And I want to say it matters to God. It matters to God. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. Thank you for your prayers for the saints. Thank you for your generosity. Every time you've given a dollar, $10, $1,000, every time you've visited your neighbor and taken some food and stopped for the one, every time you've done an act of service, the Bible said that you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so it matters. Sometimes we can look at our lives and not see the consequences of what we've done for God. It's difficult to measure love. Difficult to measure the impact of prayer. How do you measure the impact of prayer? Like, how much did that prayer tonight matter? What was the resonance of heaven? But the Bible says that it matters. God says that it has consequence. And I don't want to stand as a leader in the nation and say, thank you so much. Thank you for showing up week after week, not just tonight. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for loving God. That's what wives do. They just love us so much. And so that's my introduction. Thank you. You don't know us, and so you don't know me. Maybe you know Izzy, but have you ministered here before? Okay. Well, I'd introduce myself then. We've been married for 36 years. And we have 6 beautiful children, and what I love about Andrew is that he's the first person I've met who has more children than me. And that's a sign and a wonder, you know. People look at us and, like, they ask us, do you have a TV? All the stupid questions, you know. And we have a TV and 6 kids. It's amazing. And iPads and iPhones and all sorts of things. But we... Izzy's Italian, and we met in South Africa and got married in 1983. And then God called us. At some stage, we were part of a movement that loved church planting in all the nations, and they kept saying that, you know, go into all the world and make disciples. And I always used to think someone should do that, go into all the world. I was very happy in my country, and I was very content with what we had. But God then called us to Australia, and we moved to Adelaide in 95, and then we didn't feel comfortable. We didn't feel that was where our landing should be, and we were in Holland later on, and God spoke to us about Sydney and the eastern suburbs of Sydney. And we have a beautiful church, multicultural, multi-generational, very interesting church, a creative church, colorful church. I read a meme this week that said, being a pastor is like a walk in the park. Jurassic Park. And I can just say amen to that. That's true. I was sharing with the leadership on leaders meeting on Friday evening. Our kids entertain us. They constantly come up with very wonderful things. And you know, when they're young and they're learning songs, they don't always get the words right. But I remember overhearing one of my children singing, Grind us together, Lord, grind us together. Well, that's prophetic. Another one of my children sang, Jesus, we will phone you. And then when we first moved to Australia, I heard one of my daughters singing, and this is so prophetic. She said, we want to see Jesus lifted high. It's better than flies across this land. And I wrote a song called We're Looking for a Breakthrough. And I heard one of my kids singing in the back of the car, we're looking for a grapefruit. So I teach our church that it's never too late to have a happy childhood. That the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that actually what sustains us is the joy of the Lord. It's the Lord's joy, but he comes to bring us his joy. And he brings us joy in the middle of trials. And I think that as a nation, we're in the middle of a trial. We're in the middle of a tragedy. We're in the middle of a crisis. And what is our response to that? I'm so glad you asked that question. What good timing. I need my phone so I don't run over time. I'm looking for a clock, but I can't see one. There is one there. Where's the clock? What do I have up till? 7:30? A little bit more? All right. I won't preach evangelistically. But where was I? What is the response to a crisis? And you know, being born in the early 60s, I lived through apartheid in South Africa, and it was a traumatic thing to be a Christian and white in a country where white had privilege and where there was clear injustice. And I spent a lot of my years playing the guitar and singing African rhythms and songs in the townships once the police came and took me out in their van because they thought I must have been selling pot or something. You know, what was a white person doing in a black township? But we loved everyone. I grew up colorblind. How many of you are colorblind? That's the way God is. God's not, he doesn't know respecter of people and colors and races. He sees us as all his children. Amen. And we were of that, but we could see the injustice. We could see the pain of a nation groaning. And so what was our response? We prayed and we fasted and we sang and we wrote songs. We see a new Africa. We see the mountain of the Lord become the highest of all the mountains. We see the people streaming to the mountain saying, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord to worship him. And so we see a nation with justice. We see a nation of equality. We see a nation in peace. We see a nation where they'll turn their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. We see a nation, and we sung the nation. We sung, Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa. You see, you don't know what I'm saying. I'm singing in tongues. No. I'm singing in Zulu. And so we sang and we prophesied. And we sang and we prophesied. And we sang and we sowed. And we loved. And then Nelson Mandela was released from jail in 1983 and 1993 and 94. There was a general election. It was meant to be a bloodbath. It was meant to be riots on the streets. There was going to be such an outpouring of anger and frustration of years of injustice, years of inequality. And there was nothing of that happened. People stood in queues for days and hours and just peacefully elected a new prime minister, Nelson Mandela. Come on. So what was the response? It was prayer. It was fasting. It was love. It was singing. All the things that we've been doing tonight, and we sang last night. We've been singing for a long time because the drought has been going on, and then we have a minor breakthrough, and then we think we need to pray some more and sing some more because you get weary by the tragedy. And I've come to encourage you again. Let's go again. It's like a big battering ram, and you're breaking down this big obstacle, and you've got to go at it, you go at it, and you come back, and you go at it again until it breaks through. Until you get the relief. Last year in South Africa, there was another wave of injustice and corruption at the highest level. The president of the country was an unjust man. He was siphoning millions of dollars to his family, and there was nepotism, and there was incredible things going on. And Angus Buchan, some of you might have heard of him. He's an amazing statesman in our nation. He's a farmer. He's not a Christian leader. He's not a leader of a church. He's a farmer who's been gathering men for years and years and years, up to 500,000 men in a field for a weekend. Come on. But he said, listen, enough's enough. So he, with 6 weeks' notice, he said, let's have a prayer meeting in the middle of the nation, which is a place called Bloemfontein. Say Bloemfontein. He just spoke Afrikaans. Well done. It means flower fountain. Bloemfontein. Anyway, 6 weeks' notice to gather the people to pray. He didn't know how many would come. A few thousand would have been good. 1.7 million came. 1.7 million praying Christians from every tribe, nation, tongue, culture, background, age, economic status. People flew in their helicopters. People drove in their cars. People came on their push bikes. They came from everywhere. And for a whole day, they prayed and they sang in the fields. No one preached. They just sang and said, God, give us a new leader. Give us a new nation. Do something, Lord. Come. We humble ourselves and we pray and we seek your face. We repent. A wind, at one point in the afternoon, a wind for 15 minutes just went through the whole crowd, and everyone got baptized in the Holy Spirit and touched by God. And then 1.7 million people slowly got up and left. It took 8 hours for them to leave that place. People are friends of mine just sat in their picnic chairs by their car. They weren't going to try and get in the traffic jam. Sat for 8 hours more after the event finished. And that I saw a photograph of that field when everyone had left. There wasn't one bottle, not one paper, not one discarded piece of rubbish, not one in the whole field. And within 30 days, the president was deposed. A new guy was elected. The guy stood down, new guy stood up, and the whole nation was rejoicing. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. And that's the power of prayer. It's the same power that will change your family. It's the same power that will change your city. It's the same power that will change whatever you need changed. We have the power within us. God loves our fervent prayers. He loves our response to Him. He gives us the desires to see His kingdom come, and then He gives us the means to bring it to pass. And when that beautiful man, what was your name? David. Stood up with half a beard. That's intriguing. I'd love to hear more about that. You'd fit in well in Newtown in Sydney. I was like, awesome. I love that. I can't even grow half of one. I wouldn't try. But it brought me to Isaiah 58. I'd like you to turn there with me if you have your Bibles here this evening. Isaiah 58. Verse 11 says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. Say, He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. Doesn't that describe us right now? It says He will strengthen your frame. Aren't you glad that God strengthens our frame? Any of you need your frames strengthened? And it says this beautiful thing. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. I was so touched that David's prepared a garden in the city for people, the First Nation people who were here. I know how many people, and how do we know how long they were here before us, but a long, long time. And there's an honor, and there's a beauty and a healing in the garden. Please respond to his request to volunteer and help, because what we're doing is we are actually shepherding our city. You see, we have a reach here in church. It's a reach, and it's beautiful. And God ministers to us in the worship, and we get our garden watered by the worship, and we get watered through psalmists and through singers and songwriters, and we get watered through encountering God. But many of our people in our community don't have that access. And they're going to come into a well-watered garden and find you there. And start pouring out their heart and telling you their story. And every story matters. Every story is important. Every family is important. Every individual is important. Come on. That lady who's going to the jail for the next week to minister to the inmates. Yeah, there was a time when that you had to be one of those to get into Australia. Come on. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. I just feel that God's saying to us tonight that his waters never fail. Like love never fails, his water never fails. The water that flows from the throne, it runs under the gates and it runs across the nation. It runs away from the throne. It runs into the church. It runs into the world. It runs through us. Jesus said to the woman at the well, who was a sinner, by the way, and she wasn't looking for an encounter. Jesus encountered her at the well, engaged in a normal conversation with her, and asked her for water. He was at a well. It was a normal conversation that you'd have with someone at a well. And then he starts to unpack her life and says, what about your husband? And so forth. Well, I haven't got a husband. Yes, well, you have had five. That's a bit extreme. Amen. I'm like, Lord, just one. I just need one all my life. That's awesome. Imagine five. Imagine the damage. Imagine the trauma of her life, the psychological trauma that this woman's gone through, that she's with the sixth man in her life, with all the drama that went on with each of those breakup and relationships. You see, God takes extreme pictures to give an example of extreme love. He takes the most extreme example of someone's broken life, and then he slowly says to her, this is what I want to do. I want to give you living water. He says, the water I give you will be living water. And she's confused. She says, what do you mean? And there's this story. What about your forefathers and worship? And what does it all mean? And Jesus said, the water I give you will become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Aren't you glad that we have access to a spring of water that wells up to an eternal life that never runs dry? A spring that never fails. It's a never failing spring. Woo! Come on. So I want to just encourage you to release that never failing stream. Because as in the spiritual, as in the natural, so in the spiritual, there's a dryness in our nation. And what do we do with the dryness in our hearts? Because the two run hand in hand. I want my heart to be a well-watered garden. I want to be moved by God. Who wants a move of God? Then be moved by God. Become a move of God. You see, I'd love a revival that just sweeps across this nation. That comes in like the East Gate and just whoosh. I'd love that. What do we do in the meantime? What we do in the meantime is we fan into flame what we already have. We stir up the river that God's already given us, and we say, let it flow. It flows in worship. It flows in love. It flows in kindness. It flows in family. It flows in connection. It flows in generosity. That's how the river flows. The rivers flow when you flow. When you go, the river flows. Where you go, the river goes. It's not rocket science. You go into the garden and minister to people, the river's flowing. You go to the prison, the river's flowing there. You go and visit your neighbor who's ill and in bed, you take her some cookies, you take her some crumpets. You blessing her, the river's flowing. Every time you open your mouth, the river flows because out of your mouth, praise comes like a never-failing stream. That's why I say praise is not silent. Can't it be silent? The stones will cry out if we remain silent because the river flows when we lift our voices. It counts. Praise counts. The river flows when our mouth is opened. Out of our mouths will flow rivers of living water. It's got to come out of your mouth. So how do you get watered? Out of your own mouth. You water yourself. How do I do that? Thank you for asking. You sing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We did it tonight. We sang phrases and lines and prophetic declarations. We sang them. As we were singing them, we were being watered. We were singing, he's making everything new. How many of you are encouraged by that? you could find an aspect in your life that needed newness. Were you resonating with that song? That's a spontaneous song. Might never sing it again like that. But we sang it tonight for you and for us to consider what area in our life God wants to make things new. It comes through Scripture, Revelation 21. He's the God who makes everything new. He's making everything new in His time. And He's making our nation new. He's making our families new. He's reconciling fathers to sons. He's a reconciling God. It's a new thing. When's God doing a new thing? Whenever you believe it. When's the day of salvation? Today. You see, everything we believe becomes immediately effective the moment we believe it. It might not be manifested immediately, but the moment we believe it, that's when we start to live in the good of what we believe. So we're coming back to our nation and the dryness, we prophesy and sing until the rains come. And then when it's raining, we sing some more. Because we want it to go on. Amen. We want it to be enduring. And when my life is dry, when my heart is dry, I sing my way into freedom. I dance my way into freedom. Miriam took a tambourine, it says, and with all the women of Israel, she danced through the desert. It's difficult to us to conceive the enormity of that picture of maybe 500,000 women singing and dancing through the desert. But they were women who for 430 years could not dance. They could not sing. They never had a voice. They weren't allowed to worship in their way. And so they maybe worshipped in secret. Maybe they held in little meetings in their homes. Maybe they broke bread and they had little get-togethers to remember something of their forefathers. But they were a suppressed, oppressed people. They were making bricks from straw. They had no rights, no votes. They were under the whip of the king. For 430 years, so when they danced in the desert, they were dancing their way into freedom. Your freedom is in your mouth, in your voice. Your freedom is in your body. Your body's a temple. Use it to bless God. Dance your way into your next breakthrough. Don't be intimidated by what has gone before. Don't be conformed by what you think is religious. Because just look in the Bible. David was a wild worshiper. When he brought the tabernacle of David, he didn't call it the tabernacle of David. I'm going to start a tabernacle after myself in my honor. No, he just needed God's presence. And he brought the tabernacle, the physical manifestation of God's presence in the Ark of the Covenant. He brought it back to Mount Zion. And he erected this tent where they worshipped for 40 years, for 24 hours a day. And when he brought it through, it says he was leaping and dancing before the Lord. And he was doing it so wildly that his wife was embarrassed. I reckon that's the breakthrough right there. When you embarrass your family, you're on the brink of breakthrough. I'm saying it and I'm speaking prophetically to you as a people, to you as a company, and to us as a nation. The future of the nation is in our song. It's in our love. It's in our honor. That's why I love the unity in Toowoomba, because I believe the unity prophesies. The way Jesus sees His body, He sees us one faith, one body, one baptism, one hope, one Father. That's how He sees us. He doesn't see walls and segregation. He doesn't see different denominations. They don't exist in God. Just one body. A bride. A people He's prepared for Himself. That's why I love the bride of Christ. I love the bride of Christ. I've got this best friend of mine across the road. He's Father Bernie. He's a Kiwi Catholic priest. Got a couple of tattoos, a couple of earrings. Interesting. Got a whole beard. No, I'm joking. But he's my friend. We walk together on the way to the school when he's going to do mass. And we ask each other questions. And I take him to the local pastor's meeting with me. Why? Because I love the Catholics. They're my family. They're part of my bride. I know that that's how you guys live in this church. That we honor every church. We might not do it like them. They may have different procedures and different the ways they do church. But we know that in the Scriptures, there's nothing clear as to how long a service should be. What sort of songs we should sing. Speaks very vague things like psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Just do things decently and in order. when two or three prophesy, the others should listen. Someone should interpret if there's a tongue. Very, very general instructions on how to have a service. Amen. That's why we're all so different. And I love the diversity. I love it. I love the fact that we're so diverse. But I believe God is calling us to lift our voices again. You know, when the fishermen had fished all night, they got discouraged. They'd caught nothing. I feel like sometimes we've prayed all night and it feels like we've caught nothing. We've sung all night. What did we catch? Well, you see, the scripture speaks about these beautiful censer bowls in heaven that are the accumulated prayers of the saints. And they accumulate and they accumulate. And then one day there's a tipping point. And when the tipping point happens, there's a deluge of the sustenance, sustained prayers of the saints and the worship of the saints that comes back onto the earth. And so I want to encourage you twofold. Sustain yourself, because if you burn out, then you're not any earthly good to God's heavenly purposes. So you have to first sustain yourself. Amen. You can only love your neighbor if you love yourself. I'm not sure talking like the selfie love self. I love myself. I'm not talking about that kind of Instagram fame. I'm talking about loving who God made you. Do you love the way God's made you? I mean, love it. Well, you look in the mirror and just say, flip. You know, what's going on? Loser. You see, because the devil will tell you that you're a loser. The devil will tell you that your prayers don't amount to much. The devil will tell you that, you know, the corporate prayers don't amount to much. But I'm saying to you, the fervent prayers of the righteous people of God, they avail much. They amount to much. That your life and love matters to God. And so I want to say, God made you in his image. He made you creative. You might think, I'm not creative. I'm not a creative type. Well, actually you are. Because God, the first thing he did was create. And so every time you sing something and prophesy something and decree something over your family or decree something over your neighborhood or decree something like we have tonight, we've decreed the rain, we've decreed breakthrough, we've decreed safety for those who are under duress. Every time we do that, we're reflecting the image of God. Because God cares about society. He cares about the country. He cares about nature. Come on. I'm on a greenie. But I love conservation. I love the earth God made. He made it so amazingly. And I believe he created it with his word. I actually do. Extraordinary as that is in this day and age. Need a lot of faith to believe in evolution. Trust me that. So I want to encourage you to be the well-watered garden in our nation. Before the rains come, let the rains come. Let the inner rains come. Let God love us with an everlasting love. Let God fill us so that we're filled, that we're not the cranky Christians, finding fault with others, finding fault with ourselves, finding fault with our neighbors, getting busy with things we shouldn't be busy with. We should be busy with the things that God's busy with, the things of healing. The things of restoration, the things of rebuilding the ancient walls, the things of rebuilding broken communities, because our nation is hurting. Farmers are hurting. And our job is to rebuild them. Love them. We took up an offering at Jubilee. We raised $10,000 and sent it to the farmers just a few months ago to help them get groceries, to help them feed their families. It breaks our hearts because in the city, we become very insulated from what's happening in the country. Super, and in fact, when I was flying over, coming into Toowoomba on Friday, I was struck by the brownness of the country. For hours I flew, and it was just brown everywhere. I was struck by it because I don't see it. I live in the city, and there's just, we're still watering our gardens with hose pipes. I don't think that's happening in many places in the nation. That's a privilege. And so I want to try and identify with those that are in pain. God's made us, number one, ourselves, a well-watered garden. The river of God never runs dry. There's no drought in heaven. There's no drought in the Holy Spirit right now. So if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, woo, we can pray for you tonight.
I'd love you to get baptized because I don't know what I would do without tongues. I don't know what I'd do without singing in tongues. Why? Because my garden needs to be watered. I live with pressure. I've got 6 kids. I've got grandkids. I've got 500 people in our church. Lots of pressure. Lots of travel. We're planting churches. How am I a well-watered garden? I just join with you in worship and I sing in tongues and I love God and He waters me. His love waters me. We can never get overloved. Overdose on love. It's a good idea. Well-watered garden. Like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called the repairer of broken walls, the restorer of streets with dwellings. That is why God sent us as a family to Australia. We came to heal the broken walls, rebuild the ancient ruins. Not because we're clever, not because we're special, because God loves Australia. That He sends foreigners to come and shepherd your flocks. And to come in love. We have no agenda other than the mission of love. And God's broken our hearts for this nation. And we see such pain and such heartbreak. And God, Jesus said the first thing He was going to come and do was heal the brokenhearted. First thing He said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. God's healed my broken heart. And He can heal our neighbor's broken hearts. As people come into that garden that David's planted, broken hearts are going to be healed. And maybe one day they'll wander into church. But before they wander into church, they might need to wander into you. Have a cup of tea with you. And maybe you're the face of the healing of this nation. That's what God's got for us. And that's my message for tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Before we start praying for people, I just thought I forgot to mention Izzy's music. And music is a very important part of our life. And this most recent album, Heavy Rain, is a song that we're singing over the nation right now. In the time of rain, pray for rain. In the time of no rain, pray for rain. And so we've been singing this song. And we blessed farmers with this album. We want them to believe, to know that we love them. And if you don't want this album, buy it for somebody else. But let the song touch your life. The sound of heavy rain. How did Elijah's servant feel when he went out 6 times and he saw nothing? 6 times he went out from the presence of the prophet and said, there's nothing on the horizon. And in the 7th time, there was a cloud the size of a man's fist. That's what I'm looking for. That'll bless you. There are a few others. It Is Finished is one of the most extraordinary songs on the cross that I've ever heard. As he wrote that song, It Is Finished. The 3 best words I've ever heard. It Is Finished. Beautiful Lamb of God, very swirly, prophetic worship, lots of glory on that. So there at the back, you can help yourself at the end of the service. So I'd love us to stand together if we can. I want to bless you as a congregation and bless you as a people tonight. And then just hand the microphone back to Andrew. And we'll stay and pray if that's okay. Father, we just thank you for tonight. Thank you for this beautiful church and thank you for your beautiful people here shining like stars in the night sky. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. That against all hope we believe that the rain will come, that the tide will turn, that the rivers will run again, that the dams will overflow, Father. It seems so impossible, but you're the God who calls those things that be not as though they were. And so, Father, we're a people of faith. We're a people of hope. We can see the rain even before we have the rain. And I want to bless the people themselves, Lord, in their hearts, where maybe there's been a dryness. Maybe there's been that they feel that they're dry, Lord. I pray that that river will flow again. The water that you gave the woman at the well, that living water that welled up into eternal life, I pray that each of us would release the spring that's within us and that would well up into eternal life. And so I bless people here tonight, Lord. Bless them with a dose of your Holy Spirit. Bless them with a measure of your prophetic anointing, Lord. Bless them with new signs, new wonders. Bless them with dreams and visions. Bless them with encounters, Lord. Let them take the next step into what you've got for them as a church here at Rangeville, Father. Thank you for the miraculous history, the building that you supplied supernaturally, Father. And we pray for many, many more provisions down the road in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.